discovery called Cheat Sheets. And that's the topic of today. And I really can't wait to talk you through that, because there are some things that we can do in sales, in our sales conversations and in our sales calls, that get us faster to a yes, right? So you know our motto, qualify fast, disqualify fast. Everything is based on the probing sales framework. You might have heard of it, the probing sales framework. It's a sales methodology and framework that we've delivered with our experience in sales and marketing for the past 25 years. If you want to know more about that, go to our website. It's honeycombagency.co.uk. But now let's start. So we talk about discovery calls, but not only, we also talk about sales conversations in general. And what are some cheat codes that you can use to qualify fast and disqualify faster, right? We want to get to that yes as quickly as possible. That means we have to go through the no's even quicker. And that's what these cheat codes are there for. Let's dive right in. So we have a rule of three here, and it reminds me a little bit of the movie American Pie, but it's a different rule of three. If you're old enough to have seen American Pie movies, you know what I mean. It's nothing to do with that. We have three parts to it. Part one is before the call. Part two is during the call. And then we have after the call. And all of these parts are equally important. And we'll start with the first one. We'll start with before the call. So before we even get on a call with a prospect, on the discovery call, there are certain things that we want to do, right? That's why we call this one before the call the preparation and research. We want to be prepared for the call and have done our research, right? The classic saying of show me, you know me. But that's just a little tiny bit of what I mean by before the call and by preparation and research. But let's dive into that. So number one, we want to know as much about our prospect, about the person that we will have our discovery call with, as possible. And there's a couple of things that our sales teams do and our sales reps do every time before they even go on a call. And that is to check their LinkedIn profiles, the prospect's LinkedIn profile, and check their other social media profiles as well, because you never know what pops up. And this is not so much only about the professional side of the prospect, but also the human side, the personal side, right? I've seen prospects on LinkedIn where they have a profile picture that shows their favorite football club in the background. That's absolutely magic to have that. That is the food that we need. And I'll explain in the next slide why we want to do a proper research and a proper preparation for our sales call. So number one is a prospect. Number two is the company itself, right? So we want to check the company website, and good parts of the company website to check is the news section, the PR section, if they have it, and investor relations. In investor relations, you will find tons of information of what is going on in the background, any funding rounds, any funders, and so on. So that is a gold mine. The company website can be a gold mine. Number two, we also want to have a look at LinkedIn Sales Navigator, which is a great tool. If you don't have it, have a think about going on the premium. And I think it's like, what is it, $50, $60 for the Sales Navigator? And it's really worth it. You get so much information out of it in terms of the headcount of a department, the growth of a department, the growth of the business in general, management changes, and so on. So that is absolutely gold here. We also encourage our sales reps to go on Google News. Just Google the company and see what comes up, and utilize websites such as Crunchbase, right? Especially when you are targeting maybe startups or SMBs that are funded and have seed rounds, funding rounds, and so forth. Crunchbase is absolutely brilliant for that. And number three, we also encourage our sales teams to double check the CRM. All the information that we have in our CRM, right? What's the last sales touch point? What's the last conversations about? What was the last marketing touch points or the overall marketing touch points? Which parts of the website did the prospect go to and explore? And we just take that into our discovery call. So that is the preparation side of it. And we can dig way deeper into that. And we do that in the Sales Nation group that we have. I'll talk a little bit about that later on. But now let's focus on why we do that. The reason why we do that is we want to find triggers and trigger events in order to wow the prospect, to tell them something that will surprise them, to get the respond such as, where did you find that piece of information? Right? So we want to wow the prospect, but even more importantly, we want to build rapport fast and establish our authority quickly, right? So we know what we're talking about. We know the industry, we know the sector, we know the solution that we provide and the problems and challenges that we help solve. But also we want to establish the authority about our knowledge and be us being knowledgeable about the prospect and the prospect's business. And there's, like I said, gold mines out there, free to use, where you can just, like a sponge, just draw information out there. So once we have that preparation phase behind us, and that can be done in, I would say, half an hour. If it needs to be quick, it can be done in 5 to 10 minutes, right? But if you take half an hour before the call, just make sure you tick all your boxes and hi there. That gives you the preparation that you need in order to be prepared for the discovery call. Okay. So that's that. Next, I'm going to host a power prospecting module and a live stream. The module is already there in the Probing Sales Framework on the learning platform. But I'm going to do a live stream next week, Thursday, 16th of June, same time, where I talk about how you can utilize the power of LinkedIn to prospect in a way that is non-salesy, non-pitchy, but will get you better results than the traditional sales stuff. So, and we talk about utilizing Sales Navigator there, the target account matrix, the buyer matrix, how to really have a clear idea of your ideal client profile, your ICP. So we'll do that next week. Now, we have prepared for the call. Now we dive directly into the call. And during the call, we want to apply the Probing Sales Framework. And the good thing about the Probing Sales Framework is that we, no matter what sales methodology you have been trained on, no matter what your skill set is, no matter if you're a beginner, advanced, or a pro, you can get into the Probing Sales Framework very, very easily and apply it into your daily business right from day one, right? So there's no clash between any of your skill sets. On the contrary, you will get more skills. You will get new ideas. As long as you're open to think outside the box and doing things differently in sales to get better results, this is absolutely ideal for you. So in the discovery call, there are three things that we want to answer, right? And that is very simple. Where is our prospect right now? What's the status quo? What's going on their side? Where do they want to go? What are their goals and objectives? And why do they want to achieve these goals? That's the three basic things that we always need to figure out and find out. We can do that by asking questions. We can do that by preparing for the discovery call, but mainly through the way we design questions and we design the whole conversation flow with the Probing Sales Framework. So what's the status quo? What do they want to achieve and why? And why is the really important thing to figure out? And here's why. No pun intended. So if you look on the left side, that's where the buyer is now, right? And they have a goal and they want to get to point X in the future, right? And the now and the goal is connected with or by the buyer's why, right? Why do we want that? And on top, you see that this is connected with the vendor's how, right? So all of that plays a role in how we can close the deal, in how we can convince them to go with us instead of a competitor. So if we tick all these boxes, if we know what the buyer is all about now, what their goal is in the future, why they want to achieve that, and then the how is on our side, on the vendor side, right? We know we can help you solve these challenges. Here's how. And the good thing is there's only kind of three types of why. The business wants to either cut costs, drive revenue, or both. And so there are different screws that you can turn in a business, but everything boils down to these three types of why. It's either to cut costs or to drive revenue or both, right? And we need to figure out what it is. And we can do that in a very smart way. And here's the important thing. As soon as we know the buyer's why, as soon as we know the pain points, as soon as we know their challenges, but most importantly, why is it important for the buyer to achieve X? Why are they in the market to look for a solution that can solve their challenge? Once we know that, and once we can align that with our value proposition, that's a winning formula. If our value proposition is misaligned with the buyer's why and what they want to achieve, then there's no deal to be made, right? So we need to be absolutely clear about our value proposition. What is it that we provide, and how do we provide that? And what is the outcome for our customers and our clients when they choose to go with us instead of our competitors? So that's a value proposition. If you want to dig a little bit deeper into your own value proposition, we've got a template that you can download for free, and I'll explain a little bit about how you can utilize that template in the email that I will send you if you want that for free. All right, so go to honeycombagency.co.uk/free, fill in the details, and I will send you an email explaining how you can draft your own value proposition. So let's get back into the discovery call. What we want to have in our discovery call is very simple. One, we need a treasure map, which is the conversation flow that we design. And you know it by another name. It's a sales script or a conversation guideline, which is specifically tailored to you. And I know a lot of salespeople hate sales script because they think it's they sound robotic and the prospect will know if they read from the sales script. With the Probing Sales Framework, we have a very precise 6-step funnel that we lead our prospect through. And it's absolutely crucial for us to visualize that so that the sales rep or the sales team can be both at the same time very flexible in their approach, in their conversation, but also they don't have to think about what to ask next, right? That's why we and I personally am a big advocate of a good and tailored and bespoke sales script without the sales reps sounding like a robot. Number two, the conversation wheel, that is part of the Probing Sales Framework. So we lead the prospect through a 6-step conversation funnel in order to qualify fast and disqualify faster, and then eventually get them to the close. And also the buy cycle journey, because we need to understand the different phases of their journey. So where are they in the journey? Is it the right time or is it not? What are the alternatives that they are looking at right now, our competitors and so forth? So we bring all of that together into one script, into one template, into one framework. I'm not going into the details right now. I just wanted to show you what the conversation wheel looks like and the buyer journey looks like. And if you've done all these things 2-3 times in a row, once you have your framework in front of you, the discovery call will be so easy, will be absolutely easy, because everything makes sense, right? And that's what separates the Probing Sales Framework from the traditional sales methodologies that have been out there for the past 40 years. It really helps the buyer buy from us. we support the buyer in facilitating a purchase decision in our favor, but on their terms, right? So I'm not going into that. There's loads of videos out there on our YouTube channel and also on TikTok too that go deeper into the nitty-gritty things. And of course, on the learning platform, I'll discuss that in detail. If you want to have an initial look into how the framework works, there's the Sales Conversation Playbook. It's absolutely free. It explains the conversation, really explains the buyer journey, and you have, I don't know, around 15, 17 questions for each phase so that you can take that and apply it in your discovery calls the next day. So again, go to honeycombagency.co.uk/free and download the Sales Conversation Playbook. It is for free, play around with it, and it gets you into the frame, the mindset of the framework. But again, we want to facilitate a decision leading our prospect through the framework. We want to prevent objection. There's a difference between objection handling and objection prevention. We can prevent objections before they even come up. And we want to have a specific outcome of our discovery call. Okay. And that specific outcome is agreed upon by the buyer and the seller, right? So how we do that is quite interesting and it's very simple. I think you'll laugh your head off how simple it actually is. So let's dive into the cheat sheets or cheat codes as we call them. So let's start. Number one, set the right expectations right from the start. And that is so important that everybody, the buyer and the sales rep, is in the right state of mind to have a mutual understanding of what this conversation is all about and what each of them expect from this conversation, from this discovery call. So one way how we set the expectations in our discovery calls is to say something like, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions to understand your position better. This will take no longer than 30 minutes. Is that okay? Is that fine with you? All right. So that sets the expectations, right? The length of the discovery call, what happens in the discovery call. That's one of the checkboxes that we as a sales rep have to take on our side. Now, how can we get the buyer or the prospect on the same page? Well, very simple. We start with the close, right? You might have the mindset that the close comes at the end of the conversation. In reality, you should always start with a close and in a very specific way. So how do we do that? Very simple. So we just ask. We ask our prospect, by the end of our conversation or by the end of our call, right, what would you need to know to move forward with this? What would you need to have heard to move forward with this? Right? So we ask them about what our prospect expects to hear and learn and understand in this discovery call. That's really important because that is how we design the whole conversation flow. That's how we lead and control the conversation. Once we know what they want to hear from us, then we can put that into our script, put that into our conversation flow, and tick that box on the buy side. And then we don't have any surprises, right? And the buyer or the prospect might say, well, I need to know how complicated it is to implement that. I need to know the terms of payment. I need to know X, Y, Z, right? It can be anything. But if we start with a close, we set the expectation for the discovery call, but also the expectation for the close, because then as a seller, as a sales rep, that makes it so easy for us to close. And a lot of sales reps are kind of reluctant to go in for the close. But now we set the expectation right at the beginning of the discovery call, and prospect and sales rep agree on that. That makes it so easy to go for the close, right? So that's one cheat code, one or two cheat codes that we do with our sales teams. Next, the three appeals. You might have heard of the three appeals. If you're a little bit into communication, into psychology, you might have heard of the three appeals. Now, what are the three appeals? You probably have heard of logos, pathos, and ethos. Now, logos is the appeal to logic. Pathos, emotions, and ethos, authority or credibility, right? And if you have heard of it, you probably will be surprised to see that there are not only three appeals, but there are five. So there are two more. Logos, pathos, ethos, and then we have telos and kairos. So what is that all about? Well, telos is the appeal to purpose and values, right? So important, especially in this day and age, when it's about sustainability, when it's about company culture, when it's about the values of the company, is vendor and buyer aligned on a common purpose, on common values? And is that important for both sides, right? Sometimes it's not important at all. So values don't play a role as long as we drive the revenue, increase the revenue and cut the cost. But you will have some buyers that have deeply rooted values and a purpose. And they would like to get into business with vendors who are aligned on that purpose, on these values. And Kairos, of course, is the appeal to timeliness or urgency, right? That does not mean that we will tell our prospect, you have to buy within 24 hours or else it's gone, or we don't pressure them to sign that off within a specific period of time. In B2B sales, in enterprise sales, that's rarely the case. B2C, yeah, we can definitely check that box. But enterprise sales, it is no incentive in enterprise sales to have a coupon or a limited offer because of the buy cycle length, right? These are the five appeals. Now, the great thing is that the probing sales framework, that brings all of these five appeals together in a sales call. It makes it so easy for you to really get to a yes as quickly as possible, or go through the no's as quickly as possible. Getting to a no as quickly as possible is as important as getting to the yes, because you will only get through to the yeses if you've gone through enough no's. Yeah. So qualify hard, disqualify harder. Qualify fast, disqualify faster. And here's how we can utilize that information. Everybody, that's in human nature, tends to either more the logical side or the emotional side. We have both. And in business, especially B2B business, we have to look at the ROI. We have to look at the facts and the figures. But how do people make decisions? It's on emotions, right? Do I like these guys? Yes or no? Do I like that sales rep? And one touch point, one wrong communication, that can make or break a deal, right? So we need to be aware in our discovery calls, is our prospect, do they lean more on the logic side or more on the emotion side? Why is that important? Well, once we know that, we can design the follow-up questions accordingly. That means we can mirror who he is and how he thinks or how he feels, how he goes about challenges, how he goes about solving problems. So we can mirror that in an ethical way, right? So how can we do that? Well, probing sales framework is absolutely brilliant at that, because we can utilize our question framework to find out if someone tends to lean more on the logic side or on the emotional side when they make decisions. So the way to do it is really to frame questions in a very specific way to find out if our prospect is a logos or pathos personality or character. Let's do an example here. We are talking about, let's say, a motivation. slash a pain point. So we want to find out what their motivation is to talk to us. Why are they in the market? What are they trying to achieve and why, right? And so we ask a question like, what made you feel that what you're doing right now won't support your long-term goal X? And so all we need to find out now is that a logic question or is that an emotion question? Is that a pathos question or a logos question? Well, one word in there, it gives it away. And that word is the word feel. What made you feel that what you're doing right now won't support your long-term goal X? That is a question that is targeted to a person that tends to be a pathos question, a pathos person, right? On the other side, we can take the exact same question and reframe it and rephrase it to talk to a person that's tends more to be on the logical side. So how would that look like? Something like that. How did you know that what you're doing right now, blah, 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 blah. How did you know that? How did you find out? How did you know that? When did you know that? When did you realize? Yeah. All these words that are targeted to more the logical side of the brain or of the character of the person. And we can really do that with other questions as well throughout the conversation. Sometimes it's clear, sometimes it's not so clear. And that's why we need to listen proactively to the responses. That's why I said a sales script, if done in the right way, is gold for any sales rep, because we don't have to think about the next question. We have everything in front of us. We know that they have to go through the six steps, right? Because we need to gather the information for ourselves. And this information helps the buyer as well to make a decision. It helps us to facilitate their purchase decision, right? So a sales script is absolutely gold in that regard. When it comes to consent creation, that's one of the steps in the conversation wheel. We need to create consent with the stakeholders in the buying organization. And these stakeholders could, for example, could be, you know, the our champions teams, the team that they have. If we are talking to a head of IT or an IT manager or a sales manager or whatever, it's someone who has a team and ends up in our discovery call, right? So how can we ask about the consent creation? Well, one way is, what's the best way for you to know that your team would embrace new workflows? Because when we come in with our cybersecurity tool, with our CRM, with our newsletter tool, with our CMS system, your team will have to integrate and adapt new workflows. So what's the best way for you to know that your team would embrace new workflows? To know, no, no. That's a logic question, right? So that's a logos question. Can we reframe that if we feel that our buyer, our champion, tends to be more on the pathos side? Yes, we can. Let's have a look at that. We can reframe it in a way. And we can ask, how would your team feel about having to integrate and work with new workflows and processes? How would your team feel? So we take it off our prospect and project it onto their team and say, how would your team feel about that? And the great thing here is that a pathos and a logos person will respond differently to these questions. So after you have asked, I would say, one, two, maybe three questions specifically to figure out, you know, what kind of personality your buyer is, you'll be able to read between the lines and then just phrase and frame your follow-up questions accordingly, right? And in that regard, what's more important than asking is to actively listen and to read between the lines. What are they saying? How are they saying it? Do they react more to the word feel, or do they react better to the word think, hard facts, numbers, Or are they, do they care more about the emotions of their team, right? The disruption that a new software will cause, something like that, you know? So, and then you can mirror that, because people like people who are alike. People like people who are alike, and people buy from people who they like. And we can mirror our prospect to facilitate that. Not in a negative way, not in a mocking way, not in a bad NLP way. But if you're naturally talented, and some salespeople are naturally talented to really mirror other people, and it comes natural to them, that builds a whole level of trust and rapport between buyer and seller. And that is absolute gold. If you can do that, if you're natural at that, absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. There are some cheat codes when it comes to objection prevention. Now, you know, it's a lot of people talk about objection handling. How can we handle objections? Almost nobody's talking about preventing objections, because nobody thinks it's possible. Well, turns out it is possible. Always, not always, but most of the time. How? Simply by leading and controlling the conversation. Not only ticking your boxes, not only being dependent on maybe outdated sales methodologies that have nothing to do with how buyers need and want to buy today. But can we prevent objections? Yes, we can. Absolutely. Absolutely. In most cases, we can. How do we do that? Let's have a look. Number one, we as sales, as a sales rep, we want to bring up typical objections ourselves. So it's coming from us. And we don't leave any chances to the prospect bringing any objections up, because then it's almost too late, right? Then it's really about handling objections. But we want to prevent objections. So we need to deal with it. We need to take accountability for the objections that we know will come. Objection number one is always price. That's it. Price, wrong timing, wrong decision maker. I don't like your face. I don't like how, you know, all these typical objections. So we need to bring these up and take accountability and responsibility for the objections, because we know they will come, right? We can't just sit there and wait for the objections to come and then react, because we want to get from reactive to proactive, right? And we can prevent objections and bring up objections by simply reframing questions, by taking the design of a question and bringing that into our conversation. Probing sales framework. That's what a framework is all about. It's a recipe. And also, we want to lead prospects through our conversation funnel by bringing up these objections as early as possible, because we know they will come. If we don't bring up objections, our prospects will, buyers will. And if it's not our champion, it's one of their stakeholders in the background. It's maybe the CFO. It's maybe the CEO. It's maybe someone on the advisory board. It's maybe someone in the overseas, chief marketing officer in Canada. We don't know. But so we need to bring these up proactively, right? And we, you know, if we don't want to be intimidated by objections, we just go through it. We just go for objections. Bring these objections up, right? We're not for everyone. We do things differently. If you want traditional sales training, we are not the right guys for you. We're definitely not the right guys for you. If you want to know how, if you want a training on cold calling, that's not us. We don't do that. We do things differently. So that can also be a USP, a positioning in the market. But anyway, I've got an example for you here. So we said, let's go back into the conversation wheel. Let's try to prevent an objection, a price objection right here. So in this example, we're asking aspiration, motivational questions, right? What do they want to achieve and why? That's the aspiration and the motivation behind it. So we ask something like, are you looking to reduce costs or increase revenue with solution X, right? And that can be a general solution X. Can be, if you're a CRM provider, I would ask, are you looking to reduce costs or increase revenue with implementing a new CRM? I wouldn't necessarily put us as a brand in front of that, because I want to get the high level picture. I just want to zoom out and say, what are they all about? Reduce costs or increase revenue? That's a motivation question. And then we, of course, we get a response. Yeah, I think we want to optimize the workflows and, you know, increase the productivity, blah, blah, blah. So they want both, right? Cut costs and increase productivity, meaning increase revenue per employee and blah, 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 blah. So, okay, we got a response there. So the follow-up question could be something like, if you were to put a number on it, how much costs are you looking to save, or would you save? Or how much additional revenue would you generate, or are you looking to generate by implementing a new CRM? And then we get a response again. And hopefully it's a response with a number attached to it. And then something that we would ask is, well, okay, you want to generate, let's say, an additional £1 million in revenue per annum within the next 12 months. Okay, that's how much budget have you set aside to achieve these goals? And then the response is either, I don't have any budget yet, or say, okay, we have 10 or 20% of that set aside. So let's say 100,000 or 150,000, whatever it is, right? If they say we have no budget set aside yet, because we just started this project, and I've seen that a lot, you know, it's like just people go out into the market to see what's out there. That's like typical window shopping. There could be a project there potentially in X amount of time, but at the moment they're just evaluating, right? That does not mean that there's no deal, but it's important for us to understand, where are they in their journey, right? Bicycle journey. Goes back to the bicycle journey. Now we can ask something like, what do you think would be a reasonable investment to achieve goal X? What do you think, or what do you feel? Again, logos, pathos, depends on if you figure it out, what personality that is. What do you think would be a reasonable investment? 10%, 20%, whatever it is. And so by bringing that up, by bringing the pricing up, by bringing their investment up, we just completely prevent any pricing, at least with the champion that we are talking to. That does not mean that once the champion takes it back to their decision board, the decision board will approve it. It might be that they say, that's too much. Okay, then we need to go in and do the same thing. We need to then deal with the objection, but we can prevent as many objections as possible with the people we talk to, right? Our champion, maybe we talk to one, two, or three in the buyer organization. Yeah. And in that case, we want the prospect to tell us a number, right? So it's 10% or 20%. Okay. So in order to achieve 1 million in revenue, you want to invest £200,000 in order to achieve that. Okay, that's fair enough. What does that do? Why do we want them, the prospect, to tell us a number? Well, they are setting their own anchor. It's not sales, that, not us in sales, that puts up the anchor of the price. It's them giving us a reasonable price or investment range, right? It's not a price, it's basically the investment that they are ready to deploy or invest in such a solution. So we kind of prevented that objection, at least in the discovery call, because now we know what's their ideal price range and we can position ourselves into that price range. Now, that was during the call. Now we have after the call, and I'm just go through that very, very briefly, because there are so many things that we should be doing in after the call, which is the follow-up phase, that we have a full module for that. So I'll just go briefly through it. So a follow-up after the call is to schedule the next step, schedule the next call. Ideally, you want to do that in the discovery call, right? And we do have a video out there where I talk about how to avoid no-shows, right? So you schedule a meeting, an appointment, and they don't show up. Check the video on YouTube. A follow-up could be we need to draft a write-up for our champion so that they talk to their stakeholders, budget holders, decision-making boards, etc., their team, whatever it is. So we would need to draft a write-up there. How do we draft that write-up in a very specific way that mirrors how decision makers would make a decision and read a briefing like that? A follow-up consists also of checking in without checking in, right? So one of the things that we do is to end every call with the next step, which is clear and precise next step. In most cases, it's the next call, okay? We set a time and a date for the follow-up call. If you leave the discovery call and the next step is, I'll get back to you next week. Is that a close? Is that a next step? That is absolutely nothing. There's no commitment at all, right? We train our sales teams to be on the call, to prepare the calendar invite on the go, and send it out while they have the prospect on the call. Because then you can say, I just send you the invite. Can you check your inbox? Oh, it didn't arrive. Okay, can you reload it? It still didn't arrive. Can you check the spam folder? Oh, it's in the spam folder. Okay, can you do me a favor and just accept it? Thank you. And then the checking in is not a checking in, because you're not simply checking in. You remind them that there is a scheduled follow-up call. And ideally, what we want to have is access to text and voicemail with our champion. So ideally, we have the mobile number, we have their, WhatsApp or Telegram or whatever it is. Not to bombard them, not to harass them, but to bring the communication and the relationship that we are building more into the personal life, instead of only being business, because that is how relationships are built. People like people who are alike. People buy from people they like. And once we have that, we transition that from email, professional email, to text or voicemail, so we can send them a text, him or her, at 6:30 at night. That's where the real relationship starts, and that's where we are winning the deals. So all of that gets us closer to our prospect, our champion, and closer to the decision makers in the background, right? So there are certain things that we need to do to get a seat at the table, but that is something for a different module. It's nothing to do with a discovery call from there. If you want to learn more about the Probing Sales Framework, about the conversation wheel, about the buy cycle journey, go to honeycombagency.co.uk/free. You'll find the sales conversation playbook there. Click the button, fill in your details, and you'll be sent an email with the playbook and explanations in there. You will get insights into how you can start with the Probing Sales Framework, regardless of what sales methodology you are applying at the moment, regardless of your skill set, regardless of if you're a beginner, an SDR, BDR, or an AE, or even a sales manager. Okay, so do that. That's absolutely free for you. I just want you to have the most success that you can in your daily business and in your daily life. And by the way, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a startup, perfect, right? Have a look, download it, and apply that. If you want to dig deeper, we do have the Probing Sales Framework on our learning platform, which you can gain access to. And if you want to join me in the Sales Nation, which we call Sales Nation VIP Access, which is basically you get access to all the modules that are available. Plus, every week, we add more and more training modules for you on there. And also, we have one live every week, similar to these night talks, but it goes way more into details than what we're doing right now. And plus, we get you into our Telegram group for any questions that you have, for networking and so on. If you're interested in having a look at that, go to honeycombagency.co.uk/access. And last but not least, I'm really proud of these. It's the sales pocket guides that I started writing last year, I think. And it's really a pocket guide. It's available on Amazon. We've got 4 or 5 books out there. It's available for a fiver, okay? So you can go on Amazon. I've got the 4 elements of a sales call here. We got digital prospecting. We got loads and loads of stuff. It's like put it in your back pocket and read through it throughout your day. It's really, really cool. Fiverr on Amazon. If you want to get it for free as a PDF, just go to honeycombagency.co.uk/free. We're back to the Q&A. A couple of questions here. What type of objections are most recurring in your organization? Yeah. And that would be a really, really great question. I think the typical objections always depends on if you do cold calling, cold outreach, or if you have inbound leads, there will be different unknowns. But basically, it's always, I don't know you. So lack of credibility, lack of authority. I don't know you. Who are you guys? Budget, pricing, not so much budget, but pricing, you know, everybody has budget and nobody wants to give that budget away. So authority, credibility, price, timing, right? And need, basically need, right? So if there's no need, then there's no deal to be made. What we always say is fill the pipeline, close the pipeline, and make it as quickly as possible. So reduce and minimize the sales cycle as much as you can. You can do that by applying the probing sales framework. Why? Because the probing sales framework helps you to help your buyer buy faster. So you facilitate purchase decisions. You facilitate the purchasing process. And that is something that is very unique about the probing sales framework. And as I said, we, in the discovery call, and also together with marketing, we can prevent most of the objections, right? And by marketing, I mean things like being transparent with the pricing, putting pricing on, or at least indicative pricing on the website, so that when they schedule a meeting with you or schedule a discovery call with you, they already know, okay, it's like between 5K and 25K. Fine. Okay. And so that is, there's a typical objections that you can prevent quite easily. If you want money in your pocket, the discovery call is where the money is. And unfortunately, a lot of money is wasted in the discovery call by talking to the wrong prospects, by stop asking questions too early, by not asking the right questions. And I think it was Gong, was it Gong.io that published a stat that the closing rate increase if you ask 11 questions or more. And that is perfect. That is part of the probing sales framework. So we have around 10 to 15 standard questions that we can apply and tailor to every sector, to every business out there. And so we wouldn't stop asking questions. That's one of the main reasons why a lot of discovery calls fail. It's just the close comes too early with not enough information. And then what happens is you have a lot of no-shows because that is just not on their radar anymore. It's just not as important, right? And within a week, a lot of things can change. But after 1 week, if you're not on top of their priority list anymore, then there was something wrong in how the prospect and how the buyer perceived the value that you potentially would provide to them. So there's a misalignment. That's how no-shows appear. It's just, you're just not important anymore. Your solution is just not important anymore. Okay, so we need to work on that, and we can work on that by bringing these things into the discovery call very early on. And by the way, you can apply all these principles in your demos as well. Plus, apply it in the conversations with the stakeholders in the background. So you can train and coach your champion to have conversations with their bosses, with their budget holders. Ideally, we want to have a seat at the table and do that ourselves. Sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes it is. That's ideal. Sometimes it's not possible. So we need to convey the probing sales framework and the funnel, the conversation funnel, to our champion so that they can do the same magic that we do with them without them knowing about it, and talk to their stakeholders and talk to their budget holders. Are there any more questions that need, require answering. If not, we can just wrap it up. Again, go to honeycombagency.co.uk. There's tons of free stuff on there. honeycombagency.co.uk/free. Free resources for you available. I'm going to wrap this up. We'll be live again with the next Night Talk next Thursday, 7:15. Check my LinkedIn profile. Have a great evening, and I'll see you next week. Thank you.